folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, back again for another week in my super comfy nest on my super comfy couch, waiting for everybody to gather around, grab your beverage, get a snack, maybe a throw blanket. It's still a little chilly out today. I'm recording this Sunday, Father's Day. I started last night, but I just wasn't about it. I just had other things I wanted to get done, so I decided to tape today, and it's chilly out. I had to run some errands early this morning and get everything prepared for a super awesome dinner. Homemade cakes in the fridge. Gearing up for some company to stop by later. But while I'm spending time with my cannolis, I'm cozy and comfy in a pink sweatshirt and my Bambi and Thumper pajama pants. Even though I don't support Disney, these are worn out, comfy, and cozy, and I am set. Resting up my knee, which is healing nicely, and snuggling with my pups as I bring my messages to you this week. I hope that all of you fathers out there and all of you that have played the role of fathers, if you are of male origin, I wish you a blessed, beautiful Father's Day. Hope you have an awesome day out there. And if you're a mom that's out there doing it all by yourself, happy Father's Day to you too, because you deserve some recognition for playing the role of both parents and standing in the gap. Also, happy Father's Day to all the grandpas out there who have stepped up and taken the role not only as parents to their children, but awesome grandparents to their children's children. I'm just going to get tonight's question of the week out of the way so I don't forget it later. If you could bring your dad or your father figure any place in the world, where would it be and why? Oh, by the way, I know all my cannolis get my sometimes, maybe, a little bit twisted sense of humor, but some people were a little offended at some of my comments from the last couple weeks' shows or some of the clips I played. Well, guess what? If you're offended, take it somewhere else. I'm not now, nor have I ever claimed to attempt, even in the remotest of scenarios, to be politically correct. This is a new show, yes, but it's also comedy, and it's entertainment, and it's healing. It's a lot of things rolled up into one. And if I spent every single episode thinking about who I may or may not offend, I wouldn't have anything to record. And I'm not going to cow down to the liberals who are like, you hurt my feelings. Sorry. There are hundreds of liberal shows out there that you guys can listen to that would be better suited to your needs. This is snarky. It's sometimes a little bitey-bitey. It's comedy, but it's bringing you reality in a more positive approach so that we can take life a little less seriously, still address the issues that we need to, but also work on ourselves and our healing. So, you know what? Unfortunately, there's going to be some bad things that I talk about because that's the way that the world is going right now. But I'm not going to let somebody bully me into being something that I'm not. My comedy can be edgy at times, but that's what made my shows go crazy and gain me all of the fans that I have. You may at times disagree with my perspectives, and that's okay. A lot of the information that I put out there is to let you be able to discern on your own. It's a training tool of sorts, even though you might not recognize that. It's to get you to think. It's to get you to decide on your own what's real and what's not, to learn to trust your judgment, your inner gut. And when things are wrong, they're wrong. And that's just the way it is. I'm not going to water down my content for you or for anybody. Get your own radio show, do your own thing, or listen somewhere else. I do try to stay family oriented and also office oriented though. So there are some topics that I don't cover at all, or I cover in moderation and don't throw out the dirty, nasty details just because they're not something that's suitable for children. I can and will give a broad overview of the content and sometimes share some details that may be a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm not going to go into all of it and into the depth of it, at least not on a regular basis. If I bring it up and I'm bringing you some pretty gross details, it's because it's something that I really think that you need to be aware of to protect yourselves and your families. And sometimes there's just no way to avoid talking about certain topics, if that makes sense. Also, and I'm not trying to be egotistical here, I'm just trying to share the facts with you. Over the years that I've been doing radio and working with people one-on-one, whether it be life coaching, counseling, spiritual advice, working on their intuitive abilities, anything, and in any encounter that I've had with the general public, whether it be via the airwaves or in person or on the phone or by computer, I'm waking people up. The approach that I take is to get people who might not be open to believing certain things to open up their minds just that little bit and just create that crevice that makes them think, wait a minute, this could be true, this could be right. What if she has something there? And opening that doorway and letting that little tiny sliver of light in sometimes is all that they need to further investigate certain topics on their own. And before you know it, they're totally awake to what's really happening on our planet. And so much of it is on a spiritual level. I mean, yeah, I can preach. I've got the paperwork and I've got the schooling behind me and the professional history and the experience to speak very knowledgeably about religious and spiritual issues. But it's not my style to stand up here and soapbox you and preach to you for an hour, because how much fun would that be? Nobody likes that. This works. It works because it helps to engage you, the listeners. It helps to keep your interest, and it's a fast, very fast moving show, and I would like to think that it's very enjoyable and fun, but it also makes you think. And for those that weren't previously awake, the music and the comedy is a door to help open some deeper conversational issues that you may not have been open to before. So there's a reason for everything that I do, and just know that sometimes it may be to tweak you a little bit and to piss you off so that you think about it. I'm not sneaky. I'm totally transparent. But these ways that I have learned and developed to teach over the years have given me the most success. It's a tried and true method, and it's fun. And when I say something, I'm also sending energy behind those words, if that makes sense to you, if you could get with that. So there's a lot of prayer and thought and meditation that goes into these shows. Maybe that was what I was guided to do that day. So for those of you that complained, the show's going to be especially snarky just for you. And if things come out a little bit harsh to you, how are you going to handle it when times get rough? You need to develop somewhat of a thicker skin, because anybody that knows me and knows how I roll knows that my intentions are always pure and I'm out there to help people. And I literally, so funny story, I have a shoebox that I keep all of my thank you cards and correspondence, written correspondence from my clients over the years, and that's just overflowing. And it's just a reminder of how we can affect each other's lives. And I talk to them just like I talk to you on here. It's like I advertise, sitting across your couch or across the living room, having a conversation, keeping it real. And I can totally take the lectern approach. I've done many many lectures over my lifetime in rooms of several hundred people. And if that's what you're more geared to, I can totally do that in a different environment. Also, lastly, there is an old adage that the qualities that you may dislike in a person could very well be qualities that you also embrace and have as part of your persona or makeup, but you don't want to recognize them. And finally, I'm a Gen Xer, and this is the way we were raised. This is the way we talk. We didn't take offense to every little idiosyncrasy or what could be construed as offensive comment, and we laughed at comedy without everybody being offended. And it's just, the world's gotten too sissified, honestly. And hopefully that offers a little bit of an explanation to what's going on with my shows. And I feel like I've spent enough time on it. It's not an apology. It's not making excuses. It is the way it is. And for every one person that complains, there are a whole lot more that send me compliments and love the show. And I have to give all credit to where it's due. drawn to what to speak about, and the words just flow as I get going, and it's all coming from source. So I'm very thankful for that. And if you feel on any level as though angels, Jesus, God, your higher power, didn't have any kind of approachable conversational ability and the ability to interact with humans on a one-to-one level and not as this high up deity that speaks beneath and condescendingly to you, then you really need to do some more inner work and homework, because we were created in their image. That doesn't just mean physically, that means mentally. So they speak to us in a manner that we can understand and that we can relate to, whether it be a message that is telepathic or the spoken role. Remember the recounts in the Bible of God walking with Adam would be one example, and all of the times that Jesus spent with his disciples and his followers teaching and healing, in some cases, also one-on-one. Alrighty then, some clippies for your listening enjoyment. I'm going to start off heavy with the whole, at least as of the taping of the show, the scenario regarding the Israel-Iran attacks. Israel sent fighter jets and missiles to bomb Iran's nuclear sites. It was a surprise, pre-planned attack. And Israel said Iran was close to making nuclear bombs, and if that happened, they could be in danger, so they attacked before Iran could finish making them. And Israel targeted places where Iran was enriching uranium missile factories, and also where their key scientists and commanders were, to try and stop the bomb before it was fabricated, before it was ready. And then Iran already had enough uranium to build like 9 nuclear bombs, according to some reports, and they were building long-range missiles. Airplanes were changing their flight routes, stock market prices were falling, oil prices were going up. India is definitely going to see higher petrol and diesel rates, and food and transport costs are going to go up. Stock market volatility is there. The U.S. was not involved, at least as of this morning, Israel told the U.S. before striking. But so far, we've stayed out of it, and I hope that it continues that way. So the first two videos that I have, one is from Patrick Bet-David, who says Iran is kind of always been trouble and will continue to be trouble, and then one from Rabbi Yossi Friedman, so that we can get some perspective on what's going on here. I'm going to share a couple of different viewpoints in the two clips after these two.
Let's get ready to rumble!
As a person that was born in Iran, yes, I can't stand this regime. Yes, they've caught the only thing that's been persistent and consistent is the following. When the Shah was in Iran, did Israel already exist?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Was Israel causing chaos? Was there war in the Middle East? Let me say this one more time. When Iran was ran by the Shah, what year was the Shah of Iran? What years did he run Iran?
53 through 79.
Okay, 53 is the oil consortium, so 54 is the oil consortium.
41.
41 to 79.
Oh, wow.
Because he started at 21 years old, young man, right? Mm. 41 to 79. When did Israel become a nation?
48.
Yep. Okay, so check this out. Why is it that between 48 to 79, while the Shah was the king of Iran, running Iran, why is it for 31 years there is no major war in the Middle East? Why is that? So to the people that want to say it's all Israel's fault, how come there wasn't that in Iran for 31 years? I'm curious. Answer that question for me. And why is it from 79, when the mullahs, the Hezbollahs, the IRGC, all these guys, the Khomeinis, all of them took over, why has there been chaos in the Middle East since 79? Whose fault is that? America's been consistent. Yes, I know America wanted the oil from Iran. And yes, I know UK wanted it, and MI6 and CIA and all this stuff. And yes, I also am aware that the Shah didn't trust Israel. The Shah didn't trust you know, what they were doing with media and finance and the ambition and the level and the control and the influence and all that stuff. He knew what was going on there. He wanted to compete with them. He didn't see himself as a victim. He's like, we're going to be doing the same thing. And they're like, wait a minute, this guy's too ambitious and he thinks he can go up against all of us. Let's take this guy out. We need chaos in the Middle East. Oh, shit. Even Israel being involved, let's just say for Iran and the Shah falling, there is chaos down the Middle East. On who, though? On who, though? Who did that? So, yeah, for me, the most consistent thing behind the chaos in the Middle East has been Iran.
So the Iranian people and the Jewish people are allies. We're best of friends. We're sisters and brothers. You know, the war that's taking place now against Iran, it's not against the Iranian people. It's against the wicked regime that has been persecuting their own people, depriving them of basic human rights. The Iranians are actually reaching out to us Jews and to Israelis and saying, thank you, you're doing the work for us. Let's see a free world. This is not a war that Israel wants to do, but it's out of necessity, not just for itself and for its own security, but for the Iranian people and for the region, and indeed for the entire world.
Okay, those clips were courtesy of the PBD, Patrick Bet David, broadcasting, and 103% was the second one. Next, we have sort of a perspective between Israel versus Iran, but it's an anti-Israel perspective by the fall of USX. And then we have Colonel McGregor, who does not hold back in an interview regarding Iran and Israel by the Anonymous Angels 2025. And then I'm gonna play you Owen Schroyer's American commentator perspective.
The thing about cowards is that they only initiate violence when they know all the cards are against their target. And this coward waited a whole 24 years for this attack to happen. What are the cards? I don't know, Arab leaders giving airspace to Israel, not to Iran. Russia distracted by his friends in Ukraine. Pakistan distracted by his friends in India. Syria being taken over by these rebels. This is how they build the courage to go about doing this even without America's help. Trump, for the sake of his popularity, cannot afford to put America in this war, but it's inevitable. As the neocons and the warmongers in the United States government screaming war, 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 all over again. Israel initiated the attack, and now Iran's being told to come to the table and discuss this diplomatically. How does that make sense? You have breached their airspace, you have targeted and assassinated top generals of a nation, you have attacked sites and killed many civilians. What nation would just sit and talk about this? This is the war and chaos that this coward wanted. Clearly, he doesn't care about PR anymore. He realized that 7 billion people cannot come in his way. The timing of everything that's happening around the world is actually well orchestrated. Everyone's busy with their own internal conflicts, which somehow these goons have something to do with across the world. This coward knows his time is up. If he stops the war, he'll be facing consequences and jail time, even in Israel. So why would he stop the war? For the settlements and the expansion of Israel, you have to eliminate every threat that there is. Iran happened to be the only one. Destroying them just opens the door for Israel to be the ruling state in the world. And the way things are looking, it looks like they might just succeed. Even if Iran has a stronger army, clearly they're unable to protect their highest ranking generals and politicians from these attacks that are happening in very secure military protected locations. It's crazy how they're able to precisely target and assassinate certain people in Lebanon and Iran. When it comes to Gaza, they just leveled the whole place down. So clearly the map of expansion that he held weeks before October 7th, and which is stitched on some of the IDF, makes all the conspiracies true, that this devil is trying to get the whole world into World War III. So wake up, world. He's the only one active in his mission. All while his final target, which is Pakistan, will continue to sleep.
Wait a minute. That's a fundamentally false statement.
Which part?
False. They don't have the power to go to war.
And it showed that Iran was completely powerless to do anything about it. I mean, what nation on the planet can have their embassy destroyed in another country and to have an assassination in their capital city on an inauguration and not go to war with somebody? Yet that's exactly what Iran didn't do, because they don't have the power to do it. So that should tell you.
Wait a minute. That's a fundamentally false statement.
Which part?
False. They don't have the power to go to war. You haven't looked carefully at Iran. Iran's arsenal of missiles is enormous. It could flatten Israel in a day. They have the power to go to war. They have chosen repeatedly to avoid war. And I've said this 1,000 times. No one in the Middle East is interested in a war except Israel and the United States. That's it. There's no one else in the region that wants a war. Everyone is going to go to great lengths to avoid a war, not because of Israel, but because of us. The Iranians don't want to go to war with us. The Iranians have been trying for 30 years to to change their relationship with the United States, to build a rapport economically, socially, politically with the United States. So don't make the mistake of assuming because someone has opted not to do something, they can't. The real question at this stage is, what's the incentive for them to continue to do nothing, particularly when they're told that the only way they can satisfy us, potentially, based upon Mr. Netanyahu's demands, is to turn themselves into Libya. And we all know what happened in Libya.
Right. Yeah. Not a good situation to cite if you want them to accomplish it. But
don't assume this weakness. I mean, people said the same things about the Russians. You know, the Russians went through years of humiliation at our hands as we advanced NATO further and further east and continued to treat the Russians as though they were irrelevant and created all sorts of utterly false reasons to embargo them and hurt them and harm them, particularly under Biden and his predecessors. None of this is new. Does that mean that the Russians don't have the power to go to war against us or anybody else? Well, obviously, the answer is no. They have the power. They have not wanted to go to war. It strikes me right now that if you look at the rest of the world, the only two powers in the world today that don't seem to appreciate the catastrophic consequences of a real war are the United States and Israel.
All right, and next is Owen Schroyer's take on things.
You go fight Iran. You go form an army and fight Iran. You go to Israel and fight Hamas. We are American people. It's not our problem. And you're not going to convince us otherwise. We're done. Israel has been convincing us that their issues and their enemies in the Middle East are ours since the 80s. And all it's done is cost us trillions of dollars and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of American lives. We are done. The deception is over. The game is over. And you're not going to insult us because we're done playing. You're not going to insult us because we're done with Israel's wars and done with you controlling the right-wing geopolitical discourse. We're done, and we're not going to be insulted. You've gone too far. Israel's time running our foreign policy is over.
Introducing the challenger, the Iron Sheik.
Gotta Sheik! Iran! Iran! Iran!
It was very easy to hate.
Whose side are you taking in this? Are you going to get heavily invested and be fixated on the news to see what's happening next? Or are you going to be focused on yourself, your family, what you can do to improve your situation, stay out of the drama, keep your finger on the pulse, of course, but not get wrapped up in all of this? The media is portraying this as another distraction. Something else to worry about, be anxious about, be nervous about. World War III, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and all the rest of it. Let it play out like it's going to see the scenario having the result that you would like it to, but continue to prepare and take care of yourselves and your families. Next up, Salinas Food Market in Houston, Texas, gets a visit from a Muslim preacher, official type person, and an Iranian woman after that tells us what the end game is for Islamic radicals.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Assalamu alaikum. Muslim, right? Mashallah. You know, as a merchant, you have every legal right to sell whatever you want. But as a Muslim, I have a responsibility to tell you, to educate the people and let them know that as a Muslim, you shouldn't sell haram. There's the alcohol, the pork, the gambling, it's all against Islam. And so I'm just letting you know ahead of time, in about 30 days, we're going to start doing demonstrations around the city. The Muslims that have businesses with haram in it will let the people know that we have to teach the people the best. The Muslims have the best. So let the owners know you should begin to change the inventory, or we're just going to demonstrate. We can't stop you. You have a right to do it. But we have to give the da'wah to let the people know the truth about Islam, okay? So get the haram out of your store. May Allah bless you. I love you for the sake of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
It needs to be said. I have seen other creators. It needs to be said. I have seen other creators from other cultures even come out and say this. But me being Iranian and living under Islamic rule, saying this, I get attacked, but I'm going to say it, so let's go. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this once. What we are seeing as far as radical Islamists in the UK, Canada, and the USA is something that will not stop. Why? Because some of us were actually raised under that regime. We know what their ideology is. We know what their tactics are. We know how they like to just postpone things and negotiate things around. The end result is to completely make this entire world rule under Islam. No government, just religious law. And do you know what the religious law of Sharia law is? You completely convert to Islam. And if you don't completely convert to Islam, they have a right to unalive you, or they can keep you as a slave and do what they want.
Silence! I kill you!
And here's a really good sign. Non-sanctuary cities are on the rise in California.
Huntington Beach is preparing to defy Governor Gavin Newsom and declare itself a non-sanctuary city. This bold move would allow President Trump's deportation forces to fully operate within city limits, expediting the removal of illegal immigrants. City Attorney Michael Gates stated, Huntington Beach will coordinate and cooperate with federal agencies and fully effectuate all the tools available at the local, state, and federal levels to combat crime. This marks a major shift in California, long known for its sanctuary policies that shield illegal immigrants from deportation. And Huntington Beach isn't alone. El Cajon, a suburb of San Diego, is reportedly preparing to follow suit. This growing resistance to Newsom's policies signals a potential collapse of his control over the state, with other cities likely to join the movement. Critics argue that this is a divisive and dangerous precedent, but supporters say it's about restoring law and order and protecting communities. As California becomes a battleground for immigration policy, the question looms: will this spark a statewide revolution against Newsom and the Democratic regime? What are your thoughts on Huntington Beach's bold decision? Is this the beginning of a seismic political shift in California? Let us know in the comments below.
So that last batch of clips was from All About Humanity 818 Global Catalytic Ministries, Jeff Dunham, Ahmed the Terrorist, and then It News Updates. The one about Houston disturbed me the most because everywhere I go in medium to major cities now, that seems to be the new normal. Stores and shops that I grew up with and shopped in for years are now gone in place of foreign markets, and the crime rates in those areas has gone up exponentially, and they're virtually unrecognizable, some sections, if not all of the cities, because it's changed so dramatically. And honestly, it's been a rapid decline. It's not an improvement. There is a lot of litter and trash and garbage in the streets, and the people that are loitering are creepy, to say the least. Definitely not a good energetic vibe for any of the cities that I visited recently, anyway. And the people are incredibly rude. Even though it's over now, I want to cover the No Kings assemblies and the protests that happened yesterday as I taped today, Sunday. From what I'm finding in all of my news sources, not a whole lot of horrible things seem to go down. Bricks were all over the place on street corners, reminiscent of the Soros-funded Antifa movements. But with the military in place, it seemed as though the police were being a little more forceful and standing up for themselves more, not taking a whole lot of the nonsense that, at least from the clips I've been watching, they've been taking lately. Probably because they were afraid of the consequences if they were to stand up for themselves. But it seems like the tides have turned a little bit. I'm gonna play a hat trick of clips from Sheriff Grady Judd and Ron DeSantis setting the precedent for anybody who was gonna try and pull any monkey business during the protests in Florida.
Guys! Look! How beautiful it is here.
So that there's no misunderstanding today. This is a peaceful protest. This is a riot. We can tell the difference. The governor can tell the difference. Our law enforcement officers can tell the difference. In the event you didn't get that, let me show you something. This is a peaceful protest. This is looting. If you loot, the next thing you can try to steal is something off of your food tray at the county jail, because you're going to jail. That's a guarantee. And we're going to enjoy taking you down there. And if somebody wants to know what I mean by turn violent, all right, this is what I mean. If you resist lawful orders, you're going to jail. Let me be very clear about that. If you block an intersection or a roadway in Brevard County, you are going to jail. If you flee arrest, you're going to go to jail tired because we are going to run you down and put you in jail. If you try to mob rule a car in Brevard County, gathering around it, refusing to let the driver leave, in our county, you're most likely going to get run over and dragged across the street. If you spit on us, you're going to the hospital and in jail. If you hit one of us, you're going to the hospital and jail and most likely get bitten by one of our big, beautiful dogs that we have here. If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at, because we will kill you graveyard dead.
And we also have a policy that if you're driving on one of those streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety. And so if you drive off and you hit one of these people, that's their fault for impinging on you. You don't have to sit there and just be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have a right to defend yourself in Florida.
My God, it's really one of the most beautiful places ever.
This next one's a little difficult to understand, but an LAPD helicopter pilot is talking smack to the rioters and protesters. So he's telling him he can identify him and he's going to come to his house at 5 o'clock in the morning. He's telling him, throw something else, I dare you. This next clip is from Lelor Rising telling people to think before they protest.
We'll go to the park.
We're thinking about attending one of these protests on Saturday. Please do me a favor and watch this video all the way through. I promise it won't be long before you make up your mind. And please share this to anyone that you think might be planning on attending, because what I'm about to say is very important. I might have voted for Trump in this last election, but I am a lifelong Democrat. And I have stood exactly where you are standing right now. I used to believe in the cause. I used to have the passion. I know what it feels like to want to do something in the face of injustice. But I am asking you, as a matter of fact, I am pleading with you, sit this one out. What's happening on Saturday might look like another protest, but behind the scenes, there are some serious shadows at play. There are people funding this movement that do not care about justice. They are not looking for peaceful reform. They are looking for chaos. They are literally playing a game with lives, and they are willing to sacrifice yours to win. This is not about the issue anymore. This is about power. And I took these screenshots from my iPad, so forgive me if they're a little wonky, but this is a website called datarepublican.com. It literally is tracking all of the nonprofits, all of the government organizations, all of the NGOs, all of the big organizations that are funneling money into these protests. There are entire flowcharts for each organization that shows how the money flows from the top and gets funneled down into these organizations. This website will literally show you and break down how they are taking money from the top that has been donated by taxpayers, and they are funneling it down through trusts into random nonprofits from different states so that you cannot track the money back to where it came from. The thing that you have to understand in this moment is that the people that are funding this and the people that are pushing this movement forward are not activists. They are strategists. They are billionaires. They are CEOs, and they are probably government officials. And their goal isn't equality. It's instability. They want headlines. They want chaos. They want outrage. They want division. They want frustration. And they know that if enough well-meaning people get hurt or worse, the media is going to spin it in their favor and the nation is going to fracture even further. That is exactly what they want. I need you to know that in this moment, you are being used. And I know that you guys really care about the issues that you are fighting for. I get it, okay? But the question you need to be asking yourselves is, if the people behind the curtain really cared about you, would they be putting your lives at risk in order to accomplish their goals? Because at the end of the day, you are the ones that are on the front lines, not them. And when things go sideways, and I believe that there is a strong possibility that they will disappear into the background and they will leave you facing the consequences. Because I'm just going to warn you, not every single state is going to be as lax on what is going on as California has been. Let me show you what Georgia and Florida had to say about these riots. Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr posted this on Facebook. A warning to rioters. We will not hesitate to bring domestic terrorism charges for those who earn it. We are not California or New York. We are Georgia. We don't make excuses for criminals here. We prosecute them.
if you try to mob rule a car in Brevard County, gathering around it, refusing to let the driver leave, in our county, you're most likely going to get run over and dragged across the street. If you spit on us, you're going to the hospital and in jail. If you hit one of us, you're going to the hospital and jail, and most likely get bitten by one of our big, beautiful dogs that we have here. If you throw a brick, a firebomb, or point a gun at one of our deputies, we will be notifying your family where to collect your remains at, because we will kill you graveyard dead. We're not going to play.
That is what the law enforcement in Florida had to say about the situation. So I hope you take me seriously when I am telling you that these people are intentionally encouraging you to do things that are putting your life at risk. So I am asking you, please do not give them what they want. Your life is worth way more than being a pawn in someone else's game. And at the end of the day, there is still real work that needs to be done, but you are not going to be a part of it if you are no longer here. So sit this one out, okay? Watch closely and question everything, because the truth is starting to show, and those of us who have already stepped away can see it clearly now. At the end of the day, as your fellow citizens, we just want you safe and free and awake in the realest sense of the word.
Next, Grand Malala 55 shared a video with a woman talking about the $134 million that it would cost to keep the LA city safe, and then compares it to what we're still paying in illegal immigrants, housing fees.
The Secretary of Defense has announced that we are going to keep National Guard in place in Los Angeles for 60 days, costing American taxpayers $134 million. Many people are upset that we're going to spend $134 million to keep National Guard in Los Angeles to keep that city safe. Meanwhile, I want to talk about something that all of our money has been going to, the hotel right behind me. We've been housing upwards of 3,000 illegal immigrants in that hotel. Every night, it has cost New York City taxpayers $575,000. It is around $16 million a month we have spent for the past 3.5 years housing people in the hotel right behind me. That is billions of dollars. And I want to also remind you that under President Obama, we deported 3.2 million people. Not one riot, not one protest broke out. Under President Trump right now, we've deported around 165,000 illegal immigrants, and all hell is breaking out in America. It is so strange how when Obama did it, nothing happened. How when President Trump is doing it, all of this is happening.
Next, we have Four Warpath from Brooklyn warning people not to come into his hood. I've actually talked to this guy. He's pretty cool.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy. I'm back home. And with that being said, let me just say this. With all the riots and stuff that are going on in New York City and all over the world, don't let these people come into your neighborhoods, into your small neighborhoods, and into your small hoods, where we got enough problems in Brooklyn, Queens, East New York. I don't understand, like, you're not getting it. Don't come into our neighborhoods. We got enough problems. And if you come into our neighborhoods, if you think you are going after the police with that kind of stupid, arrogant force that you're using, let me tell you something. I can promise you this. You come to our small neighborhoods, you ain't leaving. You ain't leaving. You are not going to destroy our neighborhoods the way you're destroying liberal New York City. You want to destroy that? That's your problem. But stay the fuck out of our neighborhoods. You ever seen the Punisher? Well, you know what? We're looking to punish out here. Don't come to our neighborhoods. Period.
Really? Look, I don't know what kind of Carol's talking about here, but nobody wants a gun, okay? Most people want as many as we can legally own. I mean, you kind of need 3 right out the gate at a minimum. A shotgun, a hunting rifle, and a pistol. A gun. Good one, Carol. Good one.
Trinidad's new prime minister may have taken a page out of Florida's notebook regarding protecting yourself as a citizen. Hello, liberal trolls. Are you feeling triggered yet? No pun intended.
Home invasion laws and legal firearms. And when the brutal rapists and criminals come into your homes, I tell you again, load up your magic, light them up.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
Well, do you, Bunk?
The Democrats want to take away our gun rights, and this is a time where we need to arm up. They're actually protecting squatters that want to stay in your house illegally. Check this out.
Senate Bill 38 going to the Texas House, and this bill seeks to keep squatters out of our house. The Democrats have fought for 2 hours for the right. I don't even know how to say this, for the right of people that don't belong in your house to stay in your house in the event that you leave for a month or two and a squatter goes in and takes your house over. Democrats are fighting for the ability of those people to be able to stay in your house. It's the most jacked up thing I've ever heard.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Can you believe that? Oh, by the way, that was Deep in the Heart of Texas by Perry Como and Ted Weems and his orchestra. And earlier I played a clip from We're Not Gonna Take It by Twisted Sister. Did you catch it?
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at @MaggieHeart at outlook.com to get it fixed.
A second-generation legal immigrant shares her thoughts about illegals.
As a second-generation American whose grandparents immigrated to the U.S. legally, y'all need to shut the up about deportation. It's really not that hard to understand that if you do something illegal, you're going to suffer the consequences. And I don't want to hear any of this. Illegal immigrants pay this much in taxes. Illegal immigrants make up this much of the workforce. So do serial killers. So do rapists. So do thieves. Should we just not arrest them because they contribute to society in some way? No, that's not how it works. You do something illegal, you pay for the consequences of your actions. If you are an illegal immigrant, you can self-report and get completely free transportation, you and your whole family, back to your home country. And a lot of other countries don't have that. Go to Russia and try that. You'll be locked up for 50 years. And you'll probably be tortured and eventually killed. And every single country practices deportation.
This next clip is extremely disturbing to me and very, very sad. Minnesota officials were targeted in political assassinations. This is by deep fake quotes. Prayers go out to these people and their families for this terrible tragedy. And it is a perfect example of why every American citizen should carry a weapon to protect themselves and why we need to clamp down on these crazies and these criminals. We need to do more investigation and we need to have more of a showing of police and military force to get these people under control.
Today in Minnesota, multiple elected officials were targeted in what appears to be a politically motivated assassination. Former State House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband were found dead, shot in their home. Senator John Hoffman and his wife were also shot in a coordinated attack. They survived. Authorities have named the suspect, Vance Luther Bolter, identified as a 57-year-old former appointee to Governor Tim Walz's Workforce Development Board. He posed as a police officer, uniform, badge, fake cruiser, and carried out the attack with precision. Inside his vehicle, a manifesto, a hit list of over 70 Democratic officials, and flyers promoting today's No Kings protest movement, an anti-establishment, anti-deportation campaign. One of the slain, Representative Hortman, had just voted against expanded benefits for illegal immigrants, going against her own party. That vote now appears to be a potential trigger for the attack. And here's where the caution begins. The narrative today is that this was a lone gunman. But when someone leaves behind a hit list, drives a fake police vehicle, targets multiple homes across cities, and aligns their ideology with a nationwide protest, that's not just chaos, that's coordination. The No Kings protests were abruptly canceled in Minnesota.
I hope Trump is all over that with the investigations. Imagine what other antics they had planned for the city in general had those protests continued yesterday.
May I have your attention, please? There is no statute of limitations on treason, sedition, or crimes against humanity, nor can they be pardoned. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
heading back to Cali for a minute. The military is actually there now securing the southern border.
Well, well, well. Remember when I said I thought that the Marines were down here to secure the border? Well, now you can hear it from one of the Marines' mouth who's actually here to do just such a thing. Watch this. Cayman Road down here at Imperial Beach by the border station, and we had heard that some Marines have landed here in San Diego to hopefully do what they're doing in Texas and take care of our border situation. Today I am joined by...
My name is Captain Tucker Kimbrough. I'm the public affairs lead for Task Force Sapper, the Marines from 1 Marine Expeditionary Force that came down here, 500 in total.
500 of you. I love that. So I know you can't share too much with us, but I know this is a developing story, but what can you share?
So we are here on orders from JTF North and NORTHCOM to secure the southern border of the United States.
That's exactly what we want to hear. Thank you for sharing anything that you can. And I hope to connect with you over the week so we can get back out and see all the good work that you're doing.
Since they mentioned Tim Walz, I thought I'd throw it in there that yet another conspiracy theory has been proven. In regards to the White House this time, Joe Biden really had at least one fake Oval Office. Check this out.
Guys, I just finished a show. Look at the room that they put me in. We're in Biden's big Oval Office, everybody. And I've actually figured this out. I now know why. I now get it. Turn the camera around. There is a screen, teleprompter to the face. All I can say is the last administration was a disgrace.
That was Alina Haba reporting. Did you hear the latest about Rosie, who left the United States because she couldn't stand Trump and his policies? Ireland's kicking her out.
I kind of give her props for actually following through with what she said. She made the whole accusation that if Trump gets elected, she's leaving the country. And you know, she did. She actually got up and she fled. She fled the country to Ireland. But the most hilarious part about all this is Ireland is actually giving her 30 days to come back to America. They are, in fact, kicking her out of the country, or they are not allowing her citizenship or any permanent type of residency whatsoever. And actually, people in Ireland itself do not want her there either. They're saying she's going to take a home and land away from another Irish person. And I mean, we already know, by the way, if you've been watching the news, of what's kind of happening in Ireland anyways. Things are kind of, you know, let's say hitting the fan. But maybe, you know, I don't know. You know, America doesn't really want her either. Clearly, she doesn't want to be here. Maybe there could be some, like, middle ground. You know, they fly her back halfway. She gets dropped off somewhere else. Maybe she goes and meets Ellen DeGeneres in London, and they just have a big, you know, little kahoo, we left America party because of Trump. Although I do believe that the reason why Ellen left is because of Diddy, but it is just quite hilarious that Ireland literally pulled an Uno reverse. Sorry, Rosie, you cannot come here. You cannot live here. You must go back to America, to Trump land. You must. Sorry, Rosie. You gotta come and join us over here. Okay.
That was from It Starts With J. I bet you Rosie's in on the Diddy thing too, but boy, if she flies back to Reagan Airport in Virginia, she may become a victim of the latest facial recognition scam.
Sergeant Jeff Merkley here, and I'm here at Reagan National Airport, and I just went through the security checkpoint. And they have a new system to try to make sure that you do not use your driver's license or document instead of using facial recognition. They tell you to put your driver's license into the scanning machine, and then after you put it in and they tell you to step in front of it to get a photo, they proceed to say, well, you can't do that. You have to have your photo taken. And when you say, well, I'm just using my driver's license, and they say, no. You start the process by putting your driver's license in the machine, and at that point, you have to use facial recognition. And I said, well, I'm opting out of that. They said, well, too bad, you have no choice. Well, this no choice strategy is exactly what we've been saying that TSA is after, trying to eliminate the ability to use just a driver's license. The manager called over the manager. The manager proceeded to say, well, I know this doesn't make sense, but we have a new policy here. And once you put your driver's license in the scanning machine, you have to go through facial recognition. Even if you step out and step back, sorry, you have to use facial recognition. And so I said, no, that's not the law. You don't have to use facial recognition, and you're misleading people if you tell them to put your driver's license in the machine, then you tell them because you've done that, you can no longer use your driver's license instead of facial recognition. It's insane. This is big government coming to take away your privacy, trying to set up a national surveillance system using your faces, using the airports as the key mechanism. I will continue to fight this every step of the way.
We spent a good amount of time last week on the whole Elon Trump thing and whether or not it's a ploy or they're really having a spat. Stacey Renee has an amazing commentary regarding the biblical viewpoint on that.
Sick, like physically nauseous. I keep hearing this 5D chess argument, like this was planned, this is set up, Trump and Elon did this on purpose to outsmart the Democrats. It's all a move to protect Elon's business and give Trump space. Really? That's the hill we're dying on now? Listen, I want Trump to succeed. I wanted Joe Biden to succeed because ultimately I want America to thrive. But here's where I draw the line. If you think that lying, scheming, and deceiving are justified just because they serve your side, you have already lost your way. You've traded integrity for influence. You've replaced truth with tactics, and you've decided that manipulation is holy as long as it gets results. And I have to ask you, is that how Jesus handled power? Did he ever once use trickery to outsmart the Pharisees? Did he ever lie to expose another lie? Would he have faked a scandal to wake people up? No, he told the truth, even when it cost him everything. And if you call yourself a believer, you cannot stay asleep to this, because this is exactly how the Antichrist will rise. Under the guise of solving problems, by outsmarting the system, by tricking people into trust. And if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Matthew 24:24. This is that road. We are here. When deception becomes a tool, even if it's used for us, guess what? It erodes the very foundation of trust and truth. And when we justify manipulation to win battles, well, we end up normalizing the very tactics that we actually claim to hate. So what's real anymore? What can we believe? I'm not expecting perfection from anyone, but if we stop valuing doing the right thing the right way, then what are we even building? Because I can assure you, it's not the kingdom of God. Deception is everywhere. Don't fall into the trap.
A pretty powerful statement indeed. Hey, have you heard about the no-touch law that went into effect on June 5th, 2025? You better not touch your phone when you're in your car.
I want to make you aware of a new law that went into effect yesterday that pertains to every single one of us who drives a car and owns a phone. It's called the touch law. The touch law will affect 31 states, and drivers in those 31 states are no longer able to touch their mobile phone while you are in your vehicle. So if you're driving and an officer sees you touching your phone, they can pull you over and give you a $50 ticket. However, the fines can go up to $450. It's at least $50 for you if you're caught touching your phone. You may ask me, hey, Joanne, I'm at a light and I picked up my phone. I'm stopped. Do I still get a ticket? The answer is yes. You can still get a ticket if you are just touching your phone to pick it up and look at it momentarily while at a light. So my advice is, let's spread the word to everybody so we're not getting tickets and having to deal with all of this. Again, it's 31 states. I'm going to put them in my comments, but it's in Jersey, and of course it affects New Jersey, because why wouldn't it?
Touching me. She's touching me.
I'm not touching you.
Why are you touching me?
Not touching.
Touching me.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. It's Gen X time.
Think Gen X is unintentionally self-destructive? Well, bless your little historically illiterate heart. Gen X didn't trip and fall into dysfunction. We swan-dived into it with a middle finger in the air and a Walkman blaring Metallica. We didn't accidentally become self-destructive. We chose chaos like it was a clearance item at Kmart. Blue light special. Half of us were raised by chain-smoking boomers and the other half by the battle-hardened silent generation, both of whom thought therapy was weakness and emotions were for sitcom characters. We self-soothed with sarcasm, sabotage, and cassette tapes rewound with pencils. You think this is accidental? No. This is precision-engineered nihilism with a touch of apathy and a dash of caffeine-induced rage. We're not the most unintentionally self-destructive generation. We are the most deliberately self-aware train wrecks you'll ever meet. We know the building is on fire because we lit the damn match, poured the gasoline, and are currently roasting marshmallows over the smoldering ruins of our expectations. But hey, thank you for your concern. Now go stare into a little ring light and tell TikTok how hard your day's been because someone used a period in the sentence.
Do you ever wonder what a Gen X thinks? Welcome to Gen X Talks and Death.
Yep.
How you doing?
More than you know.
What?
Just go. I'm with you. What do you want?
Okay. I had to make a very tough decision yesterday,
okay.
And no matter which way I choose, someone was going to get their feelings hurt.
All right.
And you always say, who cares about people's feelings? So
not entirely, yes. I say that a lot, but there's a time and a place in this world for feelings, too. Don't discount that. I mean, you can't run around just being able, not thinking about anybody's feelings ever, or you're no different than those entitled crybabies that we all complain about. So, go ahead, what?
Well, I made a choice, and I don't want to talk to you about it.
You already made the choice. There's nothing to talk about. When you were done, did you feel a weight lifted off your shoulders? Did you feel sick to your stomach? I can kind of tell you which way you went with that, if you made the right decision or not. Your first reaction is almost always the correct one. Trust yourself, man.
That was Bupsy Boopsy, and Do You Ever Wonder What a Gen X Thinks? The last comedy clip, if you have small children in the room, you may want them to leave or put your headphones on for a second, or if you're in the office, turn the volume down for a minute. Two out-of-touch-with-reality cosplayers stumble across a crime scene, and trouble ensues.
We were in the middle of our tournament when my friend John said he found a body in the bushes over there. I ran over there, because I'm a healing monk, to try and help, but obviously my magic wasn't strong enough, because the dude's body was missing a head, so my friend decided to try and use a necromancer spell, which didn't work, which I knew it wouldn't, and apparently we contaminated the crime scene, because that spell uses a lot of glitter.
So, Arthur, how do you feel about being here?
I despise it with every fiber of my being. Psychiatry is for the weak and the decadent.
Why did you agree to come?
I was promised a steak dinner.
Maybe they should have just stuck with glitter construction paper dragons or something.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts. And yours, too.
Well, folks, that's our show for this evening. I hope you had as much fun as I did. I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week on my big comfy couch. If you missed a show, please check out the archives. I'm on Rumble. I'm on BitChute. I'm on YouTube and Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart Podcasts. I'm all over the place. Tuesday nights at 10 Eastern Standard on ERRT Radio. Wednesday nights at 9 on the Vera Radio Network. And throughout the week at 9 o'clock on that same station, my reruns air. I'm Friday nights Eastern Standard Time on the Trim Radio Network. Join my Facebook page, The Positude Podcast. And get a hold of me at Maggie, Maggie_Hart, Heart at Outlook.com for all of your spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional needs. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.